to the podcast of the City Club of Eugene, Oregon. The City Club builds community vision through open inquiry and is dedicated to enabling an informed public on a wide range of topics. Coming up in today's program.
Are we at the beginning of a new age in aviation? How should we think about airports and air travel in the context of economic competitiveness and environmental sustainability?
We appreciate the sponsors who make our civic work possible, including Kaiser Permanente, kp.org, Lane Community College, lanecc.edu, Peace Health, peacehealth.org, the University of Oregon, uoregon.edu, Lane County, and the City of Eugene. And here's today's program.
Welcome to the City Club of Eugene's June 18th, 2021 program. Welcome, everybody. We're glad you're here. The program's name is The New Jet Age, the Future of Southwest Oregon Airports. This is the 37th program for our 2020-21 programming year. My name is Kitty Piercy, and I am the City Club President. Support for the City Club is provided by our members and sponsors. You can become a member of the City Club at our website, cityclubofeugene.org. Our programs are always available on our YouTube channel and on our Facebook, and are broadcast on public radio station KLCC 89.7 on Mondays at 7 p.m. In today's program, we welcome Catherine Stevens, the Acting Airport Director of Eugene Airport, Betty Stansbury, the Director of Oregon's Department of Aviation, and Shelley Humble, the Airport Manager of Hobby Field in Creswell. Welcome to you all. Biographical information on our speakers is available on our website, cityclubofeugene.org. I would like to thank Andrew Kallick, a board member, for coordinating today's program. Oregon is home to nearly 100 public use airports, ranging in size from Portland International Airport with over 13 million annual passengers to small unattended airports like the McDermott State Airport in Malheur County. These airports are critical to the economic vitality of worldwide. The COVID-19 pandemic has upended global aviation, with passenger air transport down 75% in August 2020, and freight traffic down about 12% during the same span, according to the International Air Transport Association. Here in Oregon, passenger travel at the Eugene Airport in January 2021 remained 60% below its January 2020 level, though there are nascent signs of recovery, including the introduction of service from Southwest and Avilo Airlines. While federal transportation has provided millions of dollars in support for these airports throughout Southwest Oregon, including recent grants to small airports in Florence, Creswell, and Cottage Grove, many airports find themselves at an inflection point. As COVID restrictions ease, demand for air travel remains strong in many parts of the state, including South Central Coast. Meanwhile, and this is important, the environmental impact of aviation remains under the microscope as the state of Oregon grapples with its climate goals. Are we at the beginning of a new age in aviation? How should we think about airports and air travel in the context of economic competitiveness and environmental sustainability? What new ideas have emerged from the pandemic? We're going to explore those ideas today with leaders in aviation from throughout the state. We're glad you're here to join us.
Welcome to the City Club of Eugene. My name is Andrew Kallick. I'm a member of the board and the organizer of today's event on the new jet age, the future of aviation in Southwest Oregon. As we all know, the coronavirus pandemic has had an enormous impact on all sorts of industries from A to Z, and perhaps no one more than in the aviation field. And we have three phenomenal experts from Oregon here to discuss the challenges that the pandemic has posed, but also the opportunities for what comes next as we reimagine aviation in this new age. For now, we'll start with Catherine Stevens of the Eugene Airport. Catherine.
All right. Thank you so much, Andrew. I really appreciate you having me here today. I'm going to share my screen. Got a few slides, and I know there's folks that are going to be listening in on the radio, and I'll just make sure and talk through those slides. Well, let's talk about the past few months and what that has looked like. And I hate to chart you to death, but it's pretty fascinating. If you take a look, the bottom darker green line, that is 2020. And we basically just flatlined as of April last year into May, where we started to see a little bit of passenger traffic, but we dropped all the way to 5% of our normal passenger traffic, which was pretty amazing, not in a good way. The lighter green line is 2021, and then the orange line is 2019. So you can see that we really tracked pretty well in our recovery over 2021 compared to 2019. And in fact, we overtook our 2019 numbers as of the end of May this year. So we were a little surprised to see that, but also pleased. We had a very strong Memorial Day holiday, and we think we're in for a very busy summer. In fact, we've been describing it as being slammed back into normal. This is not the case for a lot of the rest of the nation. Nationally, they're seeing about a 75% return of passengers. So what's contributed that for the Eugene Airport? Well, American Airlines stayed with their plan to start nonstop service to Dallas as of March 4th. And so that's been a route that we've really wanted for a long time. It's been under demand, and they are doing pretty well with that route. So that's encouraging. We also welcomed Avelo Airlines. Their inaugural flight to Hollywood Burbank International Airport was Wednesday, May 12th. Eugene was just one of 12 airports selected as the first that Avelo will serve. And so you see pictured there is Jim Lind. He was the manager of people for Avelo, and he's also an Oregon Duck. So we were happy to have him come in on the inaugural flight and celebrate with us. And then, of course, the big news, also during the pandemic, we were able to successfully recruit Southwest Airlines, which was really a great get for our community. Southwest announced 17 new markets during the pandemic, and Eugene was one of them. Southwest will be starting nonstop service at the end of August with twice daily service to Las Vegas and once daily service to Oakland to start, because as we've been watching the other markets they've been going into, we know that they are continuing to add new destinations as well. So our route map by the end of summer will look like this, which is the most airlines we've ever had and the most nonstop routes that we've ever had. So if you would have told me last, you know, April, as we were in our spiral downward of, you know, in the pandemic and no passengers, if this would be what our route map looks at like coming out of it, I would not believe you. But it's really a positive, and I think it means that our market will and our local economy will be rebounding faster than perhaps the rest of the nation will. There's still a few routes that have not completely come back. Portland's not quite back. Chicago's not quite back. But we anticipate that coming into fall, we should probably see those routes reestablished. So just a quick snapshot of kind of where we are now and where we will be in the fall. We still are seeing just a little bit of conservative action by the airlines. So in June, we'll be 5% down in departures and 6% down in seat capacity compared to 2019. And then adjustments, like I said, are really continually being made by the airlines. We know that in the forward-looking schedule right now in October, with all of the new routes in the market, we will see a 24% more departures and 23% more seats at the Eugene Airport compared to 2019. Of course, like I said, subject to change. So how have we gotten through all of this? You know, obviously our revenues took an extreme hit. Anyone that was involved in commercial passenger traffic really suffered through this time period. The thing that really kept us going was all of the federal aid that came our way, which has really just been critical to being able to continue to operate our airport. So first, we did very well under the CARES Act funding with $22.7 million and also 100% share on our Alpha Taxiway rehabilitation project that summer. The CRISA funds, $3.7 million, and that included some relief for our concessionaires. And then our ARPA funds, $6.9 million, again with 100% federal share on our secondary runway rehab coming up this summer and some additional relief for concessionaires. So even though we've been very conservative about our spending and really spending only on operational and security needs, this funding has allowed us to do some things that we still really wanted to be able to continue. It's kind of a use it or lose it situation, especially for this check bag screening machine. This is our fourth screening machine. We worked really hard convincing the TSA that we needed this. And we knew that if we didn't follow through with this project, that they could potentially give the machine to a different airport. So we followed through on that project, which was about $1 million. And now the TSA is indicating that we may receive a fifth screening machine, which would be fabulous. They're looking at with Southwest coming in and acknowledging the need for that as well. The other thing that we move forward with, despite our financial constraints, is installing our passenger boarding bridge at gate A1. We'd needed a bridge there for a very, very long time, and it had been postponed a few different times. And this time we said, we've really just got to go ahead and build this bridge. So that was a good project to complete. And then the remainder, we just try to really find opportunities. We call it our silver lining campaign. So we did things that would normally be really difficult to do. When our parking lot's completely empty, which it never had been before, we were able to go and clean it and stripe it, making it a much easier job than if we would normally do it under normal conditions. We changed out lighting and improved some of our lighting fixtures to improve just some efficiencies. Things that obviously would be more difficult to do with a terminal full of passengers. And so took advantage of some of those opportunities. And also did a top to bottom terminal clean, which is another thing that can be pretty challenging when you've got a building full of passengers. So as part of that, we participated in the early adoption of the American Association of Airport Executives partnership with the ISSA Global Biorisk Advisory Council, your mouthful there. We helped to develop the GBAC STAR facility accreditation for airports. So this is a program that helps airports demonstrate their commitment to the higher standards of cleanliness and instill confidence in passengers and other patrons. So we were one of the first 10 airports in the nation to achieve this accreditation, and we're really proud of that. We also, think about going into a terminal building. We've got plexiglass up now. Everyone's wearing masks, and it's been really challenging for some of the folks with hearing impairment to be able to, it's already challenging anyway in a normal travel situation, but with masks and plexiglass, it was really challenging. So we installed at least the first installation of our hearing loop system. It's a system that allows people who have hearing devices that use the T-coil technology to be able to stand in front of, it's basically an icon that shows where to stand, and they're able to hear really well with the person on the other side that has a microphone. So those are installed at all of our ticket counters and our car rental counters, and we are really hoping to be able to expand this soon to the rest of the terminal building. We also decided this would be a really good time to sign on to the Good Traveler Carbon Offset Program. They reduced their price tag significantly, and so we were able to sign on to that. We hope they keep the price tag low, because I think it makes it a lot more doable for smaller airports. So with this program, you can go on their website, calculate your trip, and know what carbon offset you would need to purchase to be able to offset your air travel. And then, of course, with all of this demand, we're back to 2019 numbers, which is just incredible. So we also know that there's more demand coming, especially this summer is very busy. We know that we are pulling passengers back from driving up to Portland, which is a real positive for our community. So this is the future, accommodating really our current demand, because as of September, all of our ticket counters will be full, all of our gates will be full, all of our remain overnight aircraft parking spaces will be full, and all three heavy pads will be under full utilization. So we'll be at max capacity, and we need to move forward with an expansion, but it's something that we're going to do in a smart, sustainable way. So the future is really closer than we think. Alternative aviation fuels, electric commuter aircraft, piloted aircraft, piloted electrical vertical takeoff and landing aircraft, or eVTOL, and autonomous eVTOL aircraft, they are all coming our way, and actually much faster than I had thought, and maybe much faster than the entire industry had thought. So we're really needing to learn about this and figure out what kind of infrastructure we're going to need to put in place in the future. So here's the pie chart that I think really should be the big message. We still have 43% of our passengers who live within our local catchment area driving up to Portland and catching flights. Now, this is a pre-pandemic number, and so it'll be interesting to see what happens after the pandemic. But this is really where we have some great opportunity. Pulling those passengers back to utilize their local airport is beneficial to our local economy, and it's beneficial from a sustainability standpoint. So we can talk about that a little bit more, but the main thing is we've launched into a Fly Local, Fly EUG campaign. We're really encouraging everyone to utilize their local airport, and especially with this opportunity coming out of the pandemic to meet the passenger need and also the future need as well. I'm going to introduce Shelley Humble. She is the airport manager at Cresswell. Shelley?
Thank you, Catherine, and thank you, Andrew, for having me, asking me to join in this forum. Aviation is very near and dear to, I believe, all of us on this panel. Cresswell Airport is a general aviation airport, and for some that may not know, it really is the gateway to aviation. It is where our pilots are born. We are the type of airport that people can bring their kids to look at airplanes, to watch them take off, to watch skydivers land. Flight training, we have two flight schools here on the field. We have four maintenance shops, which is just totally awesome for a small airport. We have Young Eagles Rides, which is with the EAA, which is an experimental aircraft association. And they do Young Eagles Rides for kids between the ages of 8 and 17 to get their feet into aviation. As most know, we are experiencing a shortage of pilots, and they have to start at the base. Most pilots will go, some will go to college-based education. Others will start at a general aviation airport who have had just the passion to fly. So they come to our airports, they learn to fly with other pilots that have the same bug that they, all they want to do is fly. We have several of our pilots that started here, and I've been here 22 plus years. So I've seen some of those guys who were kids when I started go from being a private pilot all the way up to commercial pilot. One is flying for Southwest Air, one is flying for Delta. So it's neat to see as they grow and branch. These types of airports, and we have several in Oregon, are very much needed to get that spark of aviation. So we are seeing a lot of changes. We will be seeing a lot of changes with the fueling, with electric. There's a lot of changes coming down in the future, and we need to be able to evolve with them. We are also one of the mainstays that we are for the city of Cresswell is we are also listed as the Emergency Operations Center for the east side of the city. Our city is unique in the fact that I-5 runs directly between us. So we have a west side and an east side. And if Cascadia hits, we won't be able to access one or the other, depending on how severe the damage. So our airport is one of the top five busiest general aviation airports. And with that, I think I will turn it over to Betty.
All right. Thanks, Shelley. I'm Betty Stansbury. I'm the director of the Oregon Department of Aviation. And for those of you that are not familiar with our agency, we are a small 12-person state agency located in Salem. We provide free and low-cost services to the aviation community with a strong emphasis on the 97 public use airports in Oregon. We provide grant programs and pavement preservation, and we do obstruction evaluations. We provide assistance to locally owned airports on land use issues or development near the airport. So that's kind of our role. We also look at, on a statewide perspective, the impact of aviation in Oregon. And you may not be aware of this, but there are over 300 companies in Oregon that are aviation related. They employ about 215,000 people. Aviation in Oregon has an economic impact of about $29 billion, which surprises some folks know how active aviation is in Oregon. And when most people think of aviation, they're thinking getting on an airline flight, a Southwest Airlines flight that I'm so pleased to see Southwest going into Eugene. So most people just think of airline flights, but aviation is so much more than that. At Shelley's Place and at airports all across Oregon, of those 97 airport public use airports in Oregon, only six of them have airline service. And the rest of them are what we call general aviation. And they provide services that to most people are invisible until you need them. If you've ever purchased something and had it delivered overnight, then there's a good chance that a portion of that was on an airplane. If you've ever been in need of an air ambulance service for you or a loved one, especially if you're in a remote part of the state and you need to get to the major medical centers here in the valley, air ambulances are possible because of the local airports. And the same with organ transplants. There is a very, very short period of time that a donated organ is viable. And if the recipient is in a different city or a different state than the donor, the only way that that can happen is via aviation. So those are some things that people don't think about. You know, we're getting ready to start the wildfire season. And for a lot of these wildfires, especially if they're in remote locations and they're hard to access via ground, aerial assets are the only way to control that fire. And almost all of those flights, those aircraft begin and end their days at an airport. So those are a few of the functions that people don't think about. And as Shelley mentioned, the training is such a large part of what airports and aviation do in Oregon. If you've ever been on a commercial airline flight, the pilots up in the front had to start somewhere. And the majority of them started at a general aviation airport, is where they got their initial training at. So those are the unseen role of airports in Oregon.
Thank you all so much for those statements and importantly for your work leading airports and aviation throughout the state. Several of you mentioned infrastructure as an important part of your job. And indeed, the federal government provided Oregon airports with well over $100 million worth of grants during the crisis, some to keep the lights on, some to work on infrastructure needs that had built up over the years. And so I'm interested in hearing from each of you what you think we need now. What sort of infrastructure investment do we need from the federal government, from state government, from others to ensure that our airports in the state are prepared for what this next generation of flight has to offer us? I don't know if you'd like to start, Catherine. I know you mentioned it in your opening.
Sure, I'm happy to. And it's funny, the timing on this, we literally just were having a project meeting looking at all of the projects that we need to accomplish in pretty short time frame. And it's about 30 projects to just be able to address the demand we currently have. You know, the infrastructure package is going to be really, really important. It's great to have had, you know, this whole series of CARES Act, CRISA, ARPA funds. But that function was really to just get us through and maintain airports as a critical infrastructure piece. But we really, you know, we've been a bit behind nationwide in our airport infrastructure. And if we can, you know, hopefully get a package through Congress that will benefit aviation specifically, we'll be able to take on some of these projects that have been, you know, postponed for so many years. So for us, what that looks like is, you know, some enabling projects that allow us to then build out a C concourse and, of course, take those 43% of our passengers back from PDX because we'll be able to accommodate them.
Shelley or Betty, do you have any thoughts on the infrastructure need?
Sure. I will expound a little bit. We were very lucky this year. because of COVID, we got we received the CARES Act. We received $30,000, which helped us. We're in the process of a taxi lane rebuild, so that helped us complete the parking lot, which was adjacent to it, which we were not looking to complete because of the lack of funds. And then with the Carissa, we have received $13,000, which will help us with the operational shortfalls that we had. We've lost fuel sales over this last year. We've lost a jet that used to be stationed here at our field that is no longer. So that is helping us bridge the gap that we were short. It's hard for general aviation airports. We have very limited resources to get funding. Thankfully, ODA has been a very strong proponent of the CORE grants and making sure that it's available to the smaller airports that don't see the revenue producing commercial service. And then the FAA with their AIP grant funding system. If it weren't for those, most of our 97 smaller general aviation airports would be in ruins, because we need that. Pavement is expensive and there are no dollars to help with the general aviation. So I see that the government, the powers that be for infrastructure, they need to look at better ways to incorporate the general aviation airports in their funding system. I understand that commercial airports need the bulk of the money. However, for example, the AIP grant funding system, it is a 10% match for any money that we utilize from the FAA. For small airports, we're getting ready to do a runway rehab. It's just under $3 million. Where is a small GA airport going to come up with that 10% match? So there is definitely a serious need to find additional funding for the rural airports that are so important. They're important for Life Flight. They're important for Angel Flight. They're important for so many people that need to get from point A to point B in an urgent manner.
Okay, and I'll chime in as well. So Andrew, you mentioned earlier that the federal funding for Oregon has been about $140 million. About 97% of that went to the six commercial service airports, and then the remaining 3% went to the general aviation airports. And then in addition, and I apologize, I'm at the airport and an airplane is taxiing right in front of my office, so I apologize for the noise, but
that's life on an airport. We like that here.
In addition to the ARPA funds, that match that both Catherine and Shelley mentioned for 2020 and 2021 on the federal grants, we were able to get 100% funding rather than having to do the 10 to sometimes as much as 50% match. So that was a huge help for Oregon's airports. The need is still great. You know, we have 97 airports with 119 runways, and pavement preservation is an ongoing challenge for all of them. Just trying to keep what we've got, and in some cases, like at Catherine's airport, to try to grow to meet the anticipated demand. But we need help federally on just trying to keep what we've got. So we've got a couple of requests in right now for earmarks to our senators to do pavement preservation projects at airports all across the state. We're hopeful that those may get funded. And then as Shelley mentioned, we offer a small grant program where we assist with the 10% local match. Our revenues, because as a state agency, we don't get any state funding, either general fund or lottery funds. We operate off of a tax on aviation fuel. And the past 14 months, that revenue has dropped by about 50%. And so that's been the challenge for our agency, is just keeping the lights on, keeping the doors open, and continuing to operate and be able to continue to offer our grant program. And then also that fuel tax is set to go away in less than 6 months. And if it goes away, then we will not be able to continue our grant program. So we're hopeful that the legislature is in the final days of session. They've got 12 days left, and we've got a request into them to allow us to continue to collect that fuel tax money so that we can take virtually all of that money. 95% of it goes back out to airports as grants. And so we think that that program is worth saving, and we're hoping that the legislature agrees with that and will continue to fund that program so we can in turn help airports like Shelley's and Catherine's and all the other airports in Oregon a little bit of help with their local match on their grants.
If you enjoyed this presentation by the City Club of Eugene, please visit our website at cityclubofeugene.org or our Facebook page for more topics. We hope you are inspired to join us for our next podcast episode.